in our series on Raise the Flag. And today we're going to be talking about, as I just told the children, we're going to be talking about Raise the Flag of Remuneration. Now, some of you know that through the last couple of weeks we've been preaching about Raise the Flag, and we talked about the Raise the Flag of Preparation. Last week we talked about Raise the Flag of Celebration. I believe that I said that we were going to talk about Raise the Flag of, what was the word I used? Retribution. You ever heard the phrase, I don't know if that word means what you think that word means is? I went to look for something on retribution, and I realized that that word didn't mean what I thought it meant. And I found out that the word I meant and was trying to get to was remuneration. Retribution means vengeance. And I could preach a sermon on vengeance, but we're not going to. But we're gonna preach a sermon on remuneration this morning. I want you to open your Bibles. Amen. Isaiah chapter 62, same verses we've been reading the last few weeks. Today we're going to be reading them from the New King James Version. We've been doing the New Living Translation. But I want to look at the New King James Version today. It's what the word of the Lord says. It says, go through the gates. Prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway. Take out the stones. Lift up a banner for the people. Indeed, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the world. Say to the daughter of Zion, surely your salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you right now. And Lord, I thank you and I praise you for your mercy, your grace, your peace. And Lord, I ask you to get me out of the way and speak through me to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to do my best to make this quick, but I am not promising anything. I'm going to preach until God's through with me. And when God's ready to quit preaching, that's when I'll quit. And raise the flag. That's been our theme for this month. This month is Missions Month, and we've talked about missions work. We talked about raising the flag of preparation. And we talked about how that when you go on a missions trip, there's a lot of preparation. There's probably more preparation than anything else we do on a missions trip. We get ready for it. We raise the funds for it. We prepare our lessons. We prepare our sermons. We prepare the materials that we're going to use to build. Even when we go on the relief trips that we do from our church, the first day is usually about me getting Brother Furman and saying, walk around and tell me what we need. And I just sort of follow him like a little puppy, like, you know, okay, you need me to get what? And then I go to the store and buy what we need. And it's about, the preparation is a lot of it. Last week, we talked about the celebration. And we talked about how that when I go on mission trips, and man, I get excited because everybody gets excited. Everybody's happy to see me, and I'm important, and they're just glad I came. I'm going to tell you, I like it because you go on a missions trip, and everybody, just about everybody meets, just happy to see you. And you're like, hey. I come home, and Beth is happy to see me for a day. And then she's like, can you go back again? But she says 5 minutes, okay. But you get that celebration, and we talked about the celebration last week. Today I'm going to talk about the stuff that we don't talk about a whole lot, and that is the remuneration, the pay. Why, Pastor, did you not just say raise the flag of pay? I told Pastor Anna last night because it didn't have the shun on the end of it. Preparation, celebration, remuneration. She said, why didn't you say passion? But I said, that doesn't work. And I never make up words. But remuneration is when we get paid. Pastor, you mean you get paid for missions trips? You better believe it. Never in money. But I get paid. I get paid with friendships. I get paid with smiles. I wasn't even thinking about this, so I just said it. And it always sets me back when I think of it. I went to China this summer. And one afternoon, they asked me to come and speak to the older teens and younger adults. And I went in and did a little sermon, not near as long as they wanted. So then I got stuck with all this question and answer time. And I was, honestly, I was too short-winded. And they're looking at me like, that's it? I'm like, you told me to keep it short. So I kept it short. And so they began to ask questions. And one of the students said, what do you miss most right now about America? And I said, well, I got to tell you, I love the food in China. But I really miss a cheeseburger. That's the first thing I want to get when I get home is just a cheeseburger. I just want a cheeseburger. We went back to the hotel that night. We were getting ready to go to dinner. And this 16, 17-year-old girl, maybe even 15-year-old, I don't know, she was young. She came up to me and she had in her hand a McDonald's wrapper. She had went to McDonald's. She got me a chicken sandwich. Wasn't a cheeseburger. It was the closest she could get. And she says, I wanted you to have what you miss. It's the greatest paycheck I've ever gotten. Little chicken sandwich from McDonald's. It was my remuneration. It was my reward. Because what she was saying is, we're so glad you came, but we want to give you what we can give you. We want to show you that we appreciate you. Church, I got some good news for you today. Missions work. World missions around the world. Missions around our country. The teams that have been on the trips to help churches and to help in relief in New York, they brought me a 4.5-pound bag of salt potatoes. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. And they were awesome. And they brought me, I'll have to tell you about them later, they're great. And in a 4.5-pound bag, you have 3/4 of a pound of salt, you boil them in. But maybe that's why my cholesterol was high. Anyway, but they give us things to show us how glad they were that they are that we came. When you go across the street and you share the gospel with somebody, and sometimes it's a smile, sometimes it's a handshake, sometimes it's a hug, it's a reward. We talk a lot about the preparation for missions. We talk a lot about the celebration of missions. But I'm going to tell you, I'm here today to raise the flag of remuneration. There is a reward. Isaiah writes here, and he says, in verse number 11, the latter half, he says, surely your salvation is coming. We talked about that last week. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. I got news for you. First thing I want to remind you is that his reward is with him. When God sets you apart, when God called you, he did not call you without the intent to give you remuneration. He does not pull you away from the sin and the pain of this life just to save you, but rather to reward you. He is the rewarder. He is the paymaster. He is the one who is carrying with Him a reward for what we do. Now let me tell you something, church. We live in a day and age where we talk a lot about grace. Grace is unmerited favor. I believe in grace. Nothing in our life happens without grace. Because without grace, we're destined to get what we deserve. And what we deserve is death. What we deserve is sorrow. What we deserve is hell. However, God, through His grace, has said, I'm going to pay the price so that you don't have to get what you deserve, but rather you can walk in what I've paid for. But He doesn't stop there. Because all through the Bible, He continues not just to talk about the grace that keeps us from death, but to also talk about the rewards that are coming with His hand. Those rewards include, but are not limited to, I feel like I'm a salesman. They include, but are not limited to, healing, peace, freedom, power, authority, eternal life, love, joy, patience. That is a reward, folks. That is a reward. Let me tell you something. Isaiah writing here, and he's saying, sound the alarm, raise the banner, tell everybody. Talked about it last night. Tell everybody last week. Jesus is coming. He's on His way. He's going to come by. And all last week when we were celebrating Jesus coming, and we talked about the blind man, and we talked about the woman with the issue of blood, and we talked about how that they pushed through the crowds. They were trying to get there because they heard Jesus was coming. We hear all of those things. Every time He came with a reward. He came with a gift. He came with a remuneration. You see, somewhere down the road, we have to understand that we have something coming to us. But what is remuneration? Remuneration means pay. You know what I see when I hear this? I understand that Jesus is coming and He has in His hand His reward. Isaiah says His reward is with Him. He is carrying His reward. He is bringing the gifts. But it also says His work is before Him. Now, we can look at this a couple of ways. Jesus is carrying His reward. His reward is salvation. His reward is victory. His reward is power. His reward is authority. And His work is before Him, and His work was the cross. But we can also look at it in our life. He is bringing with Him. His reward is with Him. What He wants to give you is with Him. And when He gets to your life, He's going to give you a reward. He's going to give you freedom. He's going to give you peace. He's going to give you healing. He's going to give you anointing. Because His work is before Him. Meaning in our life, I have yet to find a job. I'm looking for one. If you know where it is, let me know. I'm looking for a job that offers me remuneration without work. Man, if I can find that job, I want that job. But you know what? Every job I've had, Chris just looked at me and said, "Preacher? Well, pastors only work one day a week. I guess that's it." But remuneration comes when we do work. In a generation where we talk about grace all the time, I want to spend just a couple of seconds today talking about work. We were not called to sit. We were not called. We're not being remunerated to sit. We are not being paid to watch. Somewhere down the line, we have decided that church is a spectator sport. We design our churches. Everybody's up on a stage for all the world to see. I'm going to tell you, I'm guilty. I got better about it. Now I've gotten bad about it again. And in my head, I need to get better about it again. There's a reason why I stand up here to preach. Because as the building fills up, sometimes it's harder for people to see me down there. And so as I'm trying to communicate, I need to be up here. Y'all know how much that happens. Let me tell you something. Because of practical things, communication challenges, we have created a show. We've created a show. Me and Pastor Anna were talking today about some things we'd like to see happen. And one of the things that we both said is, I don't mind eventually maybe, and we've got a light bar back there we haven't hung up yet, and I don't mind having some lights, but I don't want lights where we kill the lights out there and have all the lights up here. No. That's a show. I don't mind having the lights up there so that, you know, it's easier to see what's on the stage, it's brighter, that's fine, but I don't want to turn these lights down. It bugs me to go into churches that have no light. We're supposed to be worshiping the light. Why do we want to go into dark buildings? Just my brain. I know, the older I get. It's amazing how that works, but I sound more old-fashioned the older I get. But we have created this entertainment mindset. I might need to put you on notice because this idea just hit me. I'm not saying we're going to do it, but man, wouldn't it be awesome if we had the pulpit and the musical instruments right here in the middle of the church and we wrapped the chairs around it? And we did church in the round. And nobody was up front. We were all together. I tell you what it would do. It would drive some of you batty. Because you'd be over here getting ready to worship and you would have to look at everybody else in the church. And I'm going to tell you right now, anybody that's been on this platform knows that's the hardest thing in the world because you see all the... You know what you see? You see the spectators. See, I'm already messing up your little strings. It hadn't even started. But how awesome would it be if we understood that church worship is not a show? We're a part of it. We belong to each other. We all have a responsibility. You know people I don't know. And I'm going to dare guess that you know people that don't know God. I bet just about everybody in this building knows people that don't know God. Can I tell you a secret about me? 95% of the people that I know think they're Christians. I always say think. I never say are. Now I'm gonna give it to you. That gives me a harder road because everybody I know thinks they're a Christian. And so trying to convince them they're not is a little, you know, rude of me sometimes, but especially for somebody as shy as I am. You have a responsibility. You have a job. I can't touch the people you can touch. I can't reach the people you can reach. But yet, we want the pastor to do it. Pastor Anna tells me that there was a worship board on Facebook. And somebody put up, how many of you believe that it's the pastor's job to reach the new people? And she said she was blown away at the number of worship pastors. that said, yes, it's the pastor's job. It's not the pastor's job to reach people. It's your job. Now, let me clarify. That doesn't mean I don't reach anybody. I got to reach the people in my life. I have to find ways to know people who know they're not saved. And I had to find ways to convince people who think they're saved that they're not. I got to work. You've got to work. I met with the leaders this week. One of the things I told the leaders, that in 2018, I want each one of them to have a passion for their ministry. And I want them to drive their own ministry. I said, don't wait for me to come and say, oh, are you doing? Are you doing? No. I want your passion to drive what you're doing. I want your passion to drive it. I told them that I may or may not be at every event. Why? Because it's their passion. Now let me tell you as members, I want you to get a passion for the lost in your life. You don't need me. You don't need me to come witness to your friend. You can witness to your friend. You don't need me to come and pray for your friend. I don't mind praying for anybody you want me to pray for, but I want you to know you can pray for them long before I get there. You don't have to have the pastor. I said this a couple weeks ago. We have a church full of ministers. We don't have to have the pastor be the one to preach every sermon in the church either. And you can still come to church whether I'm preaching or not. Deal with it. We need to understand that his work is before him. You know what that means? If we want God looking at us, we need to be working. Look at this. My water is before me. I can see it. If my water is not before me, I can't see it. If we want to be before God, we got to be working. When we're setting, we're not always before God. Well, Pastor, I don't think you're not right there, because there's been times, there's been seasons that I wasn't doing anything and God still blessed me. Yeah, you know why? Usually it's because somebody that was working came and prayed for you. And all of a sudden, you were before God. Somebody's been praying. See, prayer's work. Prayer is work. If your prayer isn't work, you ain't praying right. If your prayer, if your Bible reading didn't work, you ain't reading right. Man, I read the Bible, it messes me up. I have read the Bible some 40 times, all the way through, cover to cover. I'm already making plans. I hadn't told Beth yet, but I'm already making plans. I haven't done this in probably 10 years. But I'm going to read I'm going to endeavor to read or listen to the entire Bible between Easter and Pentecost Sunday in 50 days. I used to do that a lot when I was in Delaware, and I haven't done it in probably 10 years. And I was praying the other day, and I was like, hey, I'm going to do that again. And man, when I do that, there's not much time for anything else other than listening to the Word. TV will get shrunk way down. I'm going to listen to the Word. Listen to Word. Listen to Word. Listen to Word. When I go on a trip, I won't get listen to ESPN anymore for 50 days. I got to listen to the Word. I tell you something. But it gets in your heart. It's work. It's hard. There will be some time in that 50 days that I just want to watch Andy Griffith. And I will probably, but I'm going to know. I can't watch a whole season in one night. Because I got to get back over there and listen to some more of the Word. I got to read along with it. It's work. When you want to teach, if you ain't working at teaching, you're not teaching right. If you're not working at worship, we got a lot of people don't work at worship. I'm not saying you got to stand and jump and run. You got to. I like it when you stand and jump and run. I understand there's some people that can't stand physically. Doesn't mean you don't work at worship. You put everything into it. You learn that new song. Sometimes that's work. You try to figure out what in the world song Pastor Anna's singing when she's writing them as she sings them. That's work, trying to figure out what she's singing. But when we work, His work is before Him. And it cycles back. When His work is before Him, He brings His reward when He comes. His reward is with Him and His work is before Him. When we raise the flag of remuneration, what we're saying is, God, I'm not going to sit here and just wait, but I am going to occupy until You come back. I'm going to be busy. I'm going to be about the work of the Lord. I'm going to work at my prayer. I'm going to work at my worship. I'm going to work at my Bible study. I'm going to work at evangelism. God gave me a goal 2 weeks ago. And that goal is for us to reach into 180 homes this year. 180 homes. Now, how does that happen, Pastor? Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you to write down on a piece of paper 4 names and addresses and emails, or name and email address if you got it, of 4 people that don't go to church somewhere. Now, let me tell you, it can be somebody that used to come here, they ain't going nowhere. I've already got a couple in my head that used to be here. And if you ask them, some of them would even say this is their church, but they ain't been to church in a long time. We're going to get into their house again, too. But I want you to list. And you're going to turn that in. What are you going to do with it, Pastor? Well, number one, we're going to send some invitations. I need that list as soon as possible, ASAP. Because there are 4 Sundays that I want to invite them to. The first Sunday is 2 weeks from today. 2 weeks from today. I want you inviting them, but I want you to send me something because I'm going to send them an invitation too. And that Sunday is Super Bowl Sunday. Super Bowl Sunday, we're going to do what we've done several years. We're going to have a Super Bowl Sunday sermon. I'm going to wear my football jersey. And I'm going to preach about, somehow I'm going to preach about how the Minnesota Vikings are going to win the Super Bowl. I'm stepping out on a limb because I preached sermons for Super Bowls for several years and I have a perfect record, but I've never called it before the game was set. I'm already calling it, so God be with me today. But we're going to have some fun, but in my sermon, we're going to give the salvation message. We're going to follow that sermon up on Super Bowl Sunday with a lunch. We're going to have a potluck lunch. You can get with Sister Wanda, tell her what you want to bring. We're going to have a lunch, and then about 2:30, Matt Carroll from Macon is going to, Macon or Moberly? Moberly. From Moberly. He was here a Sunday night last year for a 5th Sunday night singing. He's going to be here, and he's going to give us a good singing that afternoon. So we're going to be here in church from, if you come to Sunday school, from 9:30 to all the way up to about 3:30, 4 o'clock. Then I'm going to let you go home. But we're going to have fun. We're going to have fellowship. We're going to have the Word. We're working on, and hopefully by next Sunday, I'll be able to give you the exact. Looks like the plan is to have a family pass to a Royals game that we're going to give away. Four. So for some of you, a half family pass. But we're going to give away some Royals tickets. We're going to have some things to entice them to come in. And then we're going to hit them with the Word. Then we're going to do the same thing Easter. Easter, we're going to invite that same 180 people to church. I don't know exactly what we're doing yet. I know that I'm going to be tying Easter to the day it falls on this year. Haven't got it all worked out yet, but in case you don't know, Easter falls on April the 1st this year. And so there will be some sort of an illustrated sermon that will connect Easter to April Fool's Day. And we're going to invite them to be a part of that service. We're going to invite them to come back again in September for Back to Church Sunday, where we will probably do another breakfast church like we did a few years ago. And maybe outside, maybe inside, I don't know where we'll do it, but we're going to have a breakfast church, and we're going to give them the Word, and we'll probably have another giveaway then, and then we're going to invite them to an all-church Christmas celebration in December. Four services that we are going to invite them to. And we're going to ask them to come. Once they've been here, then we're going to be sending them invitations. And we're going to be connecting with them. And we're going to be sharing with them. And all of a sudden, we get to know them. And we're going to reach into 180 homes this year. Not because of me. Because you work. And I promise you, God's going to send His remuneration. And that remuneration is going to come when you see one of those families that was on your list come to this altar and give their heart to the Lord. When you see them shouting and dancing across the front of this church, speaking in tongues. When you see their life turned upside down. You don't forget that. I can't tell you how many times I've been to Mary's father's house. Every time I go there, I hear about Phyllis O'Brien. Every time I go, because he went to her house and he sat with her and he prayed with her, and he still is being rewarded because of her faithfulness. Your remuneration comes when you do the work. Pastor, we ain't shouting like we did last week. No, because now it's time to go do the work. Now it's time to go do something. Some of us have been sitting around waiting for it to happen long enough. We got to get our hands dirty. We got to get out and do something. Some of us have said, well, I used to do that kind of stuff, but I don't do that anymore. Why? Are you dead? Well, if you ain't dead, it's time to get to work. Come on now. I want us working, because when we work, God sends blessing. When we do the work of God, God brings His gifts into our lives. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I want You to send the passion to work. Send the passion to work.